This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. According to the Pew Research Center, single women over 35 now account for around 15% of the U.S. birth rate. There are many more options for women who have delayed motherhood, from adoption to using donor sperm to in vitro fertilization of their own frozen eggs. Journalist Pamela Ferdinand, Carrie Goldberg, and Beth Jones all had fulfilling careers, rich friendships, and hapless relationship histories. They all wanted children, but were approaching biological midnight. They tell their unlikely stories in Three Wishes, a true story of good friends, crushing heartbreak, and astonishing good luck on our way to love and motherhood, now out in paperback. When the book was first released, Pamela Ferdinand spoke to NHPR's Elaine Grant about the role of a single sperm donor, known only as number 8282, and what that role played in the changing of three friends' lives.
Well, Carrie and I, Carrie Goldberg and I knew each other. We were both journalists. She was covering New England for the New York Times. I was covering it for the Washington Post. Beth, who had had a very interesting and varied career, also came into journalism. Carrie was 39 and didn't have a man but wanted a child. She desperately wanted to be a mother and had a lot to offer. So she bought some vials of anonymous donor sperm from California Cryobank. No sooner did the vials arrive than she met the man that she would eventually fall in love with, have two children with, and marry. Beth also found herself approaching 40. She had gone through a pretty heart-wrenching divorce, was recovering from the divorce, and ready for single motherhood herself. She was scanning all the donor sperm banks online and was talking to me about the infinite choices that are available. And I said, you know, I've got this friend, Carrie, and she has some extra vials, which is very 21st century matchmaking. Introduced to them. They became friends. Beth accepted the vials. And no sooner had Beth done so than she met the man that she would fall in love with and have a son and marry one day. Then there was me. I'm kind of the humblest romantic of the threesome. I kept searching for my soulmate, and he wasn't showing up in time for my biological clock. And I realized that that I was also ready and prepared to be a single mother, and I thought that, you know, maybe love would show up down the line, but maybe not in time for me. So I accepted the vials from Beth, and no sooner had I accepted them than I, too, met the man who would be the love of my life, and we have a daughter today. And sometimes people think that we were picking out husbands and boyfriends for each other with the vials, but in fact, we actually have very different tastes in men. But what we all seem to think is that we were giving each other the means to become mothers, and because we were friends and loved and supported each other, the choice was made easier, and that just the decision to think about what made us happy and commit to trying to go after that created some kind of magic, that there was magic in that moment.
In fact, one of the things that struck me was that the three of you did, in fact, approach motherhood very determinedly, very pragmatically. In your case, if things didn't work out with Mark, you had a backup person willing to help you get pregnant. Are the men incidental in all of this?
No. They're not incidental. We don't want to objectify them at all. And certainly we all hoped that we would have partners. You know, being single mothers wasn't our first choice by any means. And I think one of the things we found, and we felt that a lot of women, particularly of our generation, has found that life isn't linear. Things can go in all kinds of order, that you can have a child and then you can fall in love. And we were just very fortunate that we had made this decision of what we wanted, and we had been pretty thoughtful, I think, about it in terms of thinking that we had resources and male role models around and a loving community of family and friends. And once we made the decision, our hearts were open enough to allow us to see these men who would bring another wonderful dimension of joy into our lives.
But as you write the book, all three of you, it certainly wasn't easy at the time. There were a lot of obstacles. There's a kind of anxiety driving the three of you. And you meet Mark, who thinks that you should have a relationship founded on the two of you before having children, but the clock is ticking and you really want a baby and you make a timeline. Is this just how it has to be managed when, you know, approaching 40?
Yeah, it's daunting and it's awkward. I think, you know, the men we were dating through our 30s, it probably wasn't fun for them to be on the other side of the dinner table hearing our clocks ticking either. And And once we accepted the vials and met these men, that's really when a lot of our story begins, because all of the men we met had some reluctance about becoming fathers, either ever or in our time frame. But biology is something that you can't control. There was even no guarantee that we would be able to have children naturally. But to keep the odds on our side, it was a conversation we had to bring up with all the men.
And it was a very tough conversation. The men, as you mentioned, do commit. In one funny scene, Beth tells her tentative lover, Phil, not to forget his dreams of going to Kathmandu when she gets pregnant. She says, it's a baby, not a jail term.
That's right.
And they all love their kids. But you know, what about this sort of magic donor 8282? You're a science writer. Don't you find it all a little freaky?
Yeah, it is a little... It's freaky. And like I said, we've since found that his donor sperm has had children, you know, along the way with other women in the world, which is wonderful. But for us, it wasn't so much about him, but it was about committing to that decision, thinking about what we really wanted, and getting with our friends, having each other through it was so, so key. And for other women, you know, we don't put ourselves in the position of advice givers, and this is what you should do. But we hope that people are encouraged to think about what they truly want. In our case, it was children. In other people's case, it could be something entirely different. But just trying to go after that can really make a difference.
Pamela Ferdinand there talking with Elaine Grant. She is co-author with Casey Goldberg and Beth Jones of Three Wishes, a true story of good friends, crushing heartbreak, and astonishing luck on our way to love and motherhood. The book is now out in paperback, and you can find more, including a link to Pam's website and blog at wordofmouthradio.org. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you did miss any of the program, head on over to wordofmouthradio.org, where you can listen to today's show or download content from our archives. If you'd like to comment on what you might have heard, contribute your own ideas, you can do that on our website as well. You can post a note on our Facebook page, Word of Mouth Radio, or send us a tweet at Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott, and this is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio.